All right, if you would stand with me for the honor of reading God's Word, and we will read out of Galatians chapter 6. We'll read verses 11 through 18, and that will be our reading and also the text for the morning message. Galatians 6, starting in verse 11. He says, "See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply so that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. But may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. And those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause trouble for me, for I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is true. And Lord, as we have journeyed in this book of Galatians and you have used Paul's message to these churches, they have spoken to us as well. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us to hear these last closing words of what you want us to hear, to know, to believe, and how to act upon. And that you'd speak to us this morning, Father. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. Thank you. May be seated as we get into this message, that the title, the main thought, is going to be this simple sentence that we're going to just repeat after me, if you don't mind. Just indulge me just for a moment. I'm not ashamed to proclaim the name. Okay? I'm not ashamed to proclaim the name. That's going to be our thought, and we're going to see two different groups of people, and I want you to fall into the category of the person who's not ashamed to proclaim the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so we start in verse 11. He says, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you with my own hand." Now, it was the customary practice of Paul that in many of his letters, he dictated those letters as the Spirit of God was moving on him to pen the words. He would speak these words to a scribe, and he would write those down. Some believe maybe Timothy was one of his scribes. Luke could possibly have been, and some others. And then he would have a signature at the end where he would actually mark the letter that this is actually coming from my hand. This is from me. At this point, Paul takes the stylus from the one who is writing for him, and he puts his stamp on this letter to let the folks know this is coming, this is for me, this is an authentic letter. There were people, Paul had problems with people trying to write these letters in his name that really wasn't him, and they would try to spread these false letters around to the churches. And so he had a mark, and he says, "See with what large letters I'm writing to you." If he could have had a computer in the day and had it bold-faced font, it would have been bold, saying, "Listen, look at this. This is important. He's about to end this letter, and he wants to draw attention to these closing words. And I think it would do us well as a church to take note of these and listen to what Paul is trying to say. He's wanting to clarify and close a letter to the churches, and there's an important message here that we must hear today." Amen? And so, let's listen what God wants to say to us. Verse 12, he says, "Those who desire to make a good showing in the flesh." Let's just stop right there for a moment. And then he says, there are some folks, there's two hearts. He is going to go between two hearts. There's going to be the heart that tries to get the applause and accolades of man, and then the one that has the true for God. He says, there's some who try to make a good showing in the flesh. You know, there are some folks who want you to think that they're really something, right? You ever known people that put on this air about them? They want you to think that They want you to know they're better than everyone else, and they know more than you do, and they just walk around, and they have this persona that they want people to believe that they're something. Now remember, Paul warned us, be careful for those of you who think you're something when you're nothing. Jesus had to deal with these type of folks in his ministry. And Matthew 23:27, well, I'm going to read a lot of verses here. Those aren't on the screen, just the Galatians passage will be. But he says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. He also says, rightly did Isaiah prophesy, that these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is what? Far from me. Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray, and they pray these real loud prayers out in public so they can be seen by men. Rather, go into your closet and pray to your Father who is in secret. Amen. So the religious people, and what there's always folks that they want to appear to be holier than what they really are. The outside looks good, but the inside is full of deceit and deception. Be careful, he says. There's a group of folks that desire to make a good showing to the flesh. They try to compel you. They try to convince you to be circumcised. Now, why? There's two reasons Paul gives here why they do this, and we'll read these next two verses and talk about those two. He says simply, so one, that they will not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. The second reason is found in verse 13, where he says, for those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised so that they may boast in your flesh. He says there's two reasons why these group of folks act the way they do. One, they're afraid and fearful of man. They don't want to be rejected by men. And secondly, they want the applause of men. They don't want to be rejected by men, and they want the applause of men. In John chapter 12, verse 42, Jesus is John is telling us about people in the Pharisees who wanted to believe in Jesus, but in verse 42 it says, nevertheless, many even of the rulers believed in him, talking about Jesus, but because of the Pharisees, they were not confessing him for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the approval of men rather than the approval of God. This is very dangerous. It's very dangerous when you would rather have the applause of man than the applause of heaven. It's very dangerous when you're more worried about what people think than what God thinks. It's very dangerous to live a life when you are ashamed to proclaim the name. You see, Paul said that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ in Romans, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. In 2 Timothy, he was telling the young pastor there, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. He says, and Peter says in 1 Peter, but if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. Jesus warned that when he returns, that everyone who will be ashamed of me in this adulterous generation, I will be ashamed of him. You see, the question is, are you a Christian? And are you proud to proclaim the name? Or do you shrink back and think, oh, I can't let anybody know that I really follow Jesus because they may laugh at me. or they may mock me, or they may ridicule me, or my boss may not promote me. You see, we live in a culture today where we play the convenient Christian card. I'll be a Christian when it's convenient. If it works in my favor, I'll wear my Christian t-shirt. But if I'm in a group that's going to mock that or scoff that, I better put it back in the drawer. We have folks that are, they call themselves, you know, they're just the silent Christians. I've not read that in the Bible. I've read in the Bible where we are not to be ashamed to proclaim the name. You see, here's the thing about Christianity. It's not something that you can just put on and put off. This is not something that we do just for 70 minutes, and we get here, and we may bring our Bible, we may not, but we walk around and bless everybody and thankful, and we put on a show for 70 minutes, and then we go home and just forget about God from the rest of the day and all week long. Either you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. Either you are ashamed of Jesus or you're not ashamed of Jesus. And what I want to encourage all of us to do is to not be ashamed to proclaim the name. Whether people make fun of you, whether they don't invite you to the party, they don't invite you to the event, oh, they don't give you the promotion, or they don't give you the grade that you deserve because of the position you took on your paper of standing for what is true. If it's not popular, so be it. You're going to have to make two decisions. Are you going to please man, or are you going to please God? This group of people, because of the culture in which Paul lived in, and the Romans really didn't care much for Christians, and the Jewish leaders sure didn't. Remember who Paul was. You remember who Paul was? What was his name before it was Paul? His name was Saul, and he was a very religious guy. And he would go around and he would persecute who? Christians. He would have Christians killed. And so what would happen is there would be persecution from Jerusalem on out. And so what these Judaizers would do is they would go and they say, yeah, this Jesus, he's good and all, and that sounds great, but let's go ahead and let's get circumcised because, you know, we don't really want to stand out and let people know that we really believe in Jesus. So let's compromise and let's go under the law so that we don't get persecuted for our faith. There are some who will go to work and you're playing like this undercover Christian game. I don't want to talk about Jesus too much. Because then if I start talking about Jesus, then here comes, you know, Holy Roller Joe. Here he comes. Oh, no, you're not going to pray. You're not going to speak up. You're not going to share the truth. Why? Because, well, you don't want to get people mad at you at the workplace. You don't want your boss knowing that you're a Christian. You don't. Why? I don't want to make a stand for Jesus, because that might not be popular. It's not popular to believe that Jesus is the way to the Father. It's not popular. Okay? If Paul was worried about being popular, he would have stayed a Pharisee. He had that. But what he was convinced of is that there was a God who changed his life, and that he didn't care about if he got the applause of man any longer. It didn't matter to him. He was going to do what God had called him to do. He was not ashamed of the gospel. And so we live in a day where it's not popular to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven. That doesn't mean it's not true. So if you make claims that if you want to go to heaven, you must submit to the cross of Jesus Christ and humble yourself and receive his forgiveness and his grace, and that's the way to heaven, People are going to talk about you. Do you understand that? If you believe that there is grace and mercy and love at the cross through Jesus, and that that is how we find our salvation, there are going to be people who call you narrow-minded. That's the world we live in. That's the world Paul lived in. And there's always been this pressure to either fit in with the in crowd and what's popular, or to make a stand. He says there's a group of people who just want to boast in your flesh. There's people who want the applause of man. They don't want the they fear the rejection of man, and they also want the applause of man. They want everybody to like them. Y'all know some folks like that? They're afraid to say anything to anyone that is true because they don't want anybody to think that they're being mean. And so they just go through life, try not to offend anyone with the gospel, because they really would like for people to brag on them. And they want people to recognize how great they are. And so Jesus spoke about the Pharisees as well, about their wanting to impress men. In Matthew 23:15, he says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites, because you travel around sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." He says, you are so caught up in wanting to get all of these people just joining your group that's what you're excited about. The Judaizers, he said, Paul said, all they're doing, they're convincing you to be circumcised so that they can brag about how many people they have converted to their faith. Now, let me just tell you something about this church, is that I am glad and happy and excited for what God is doing here. I am. And I'm excited about the growth. But the growth and the amount of people that we have coming here isn't what impresses me. That's not what impresses me. I love to have baptisms. I love that we can baptize folks. But a number of people that we have baptized every year isn't what impresses me. Because numbers can be manipulated. You realize that? Numbers can be misconstrued, you see. Baptisms can be manipulated. You know, there's this thing going around in our American church today that it's called spontaneous baptisms. And they'll teach you how to have a spontaneous baptism, which is kind of funny to me, because how can something be spontaneous and planned, right? And so there'll be pastors around America who wants to get their baptism numbers up so they can brag about it. They'll bring out pools of water out there, and they will plant people within the church that when it's time to come and get baptized, they will start coming. And while they start coming, well, then it'll make somebody else think, well, that's what I need to do. So that's what they'll go, and they'll have their ready and everything, and they'll have all this, they'll have a big baptism show, and they'll be like, woohoo, wow, we had so and so many baptisms. Wow. Look at us. Honk, 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 honk. Aren't we awesome? Woo! And here's what you've got to realize, is that you can go into the baptismal waters lost, get wet, and walk out of the baptismal waters lost. The water doesn't save you. Jesus saves you. So it ain't about just trying to get, you know, we got this many people baptized. That's wonderful and great if it truly was a reflection of what happened on the inside. But if it's just so that we can report to our state convention that we baptized so and so many people, and we have this many people in our churches, and you know, and because preachers they like to go around at preacher conventions and brag a little bit, you know preachers lie. You know that? Because you'll go to every pastor convention, you'll go, how's your church? Oh, fine, fine, it's great. Our church is doing great. And every preacher's church is doing great. And I wonder, if all the churches are doing great, why is America in the mess it's in? So it's not about just having, you know, this many people at your church, this many people baptized. That's what the flesh loves to gloat in. That's what men like to pride themselves in. It's not about that. It's, do the people have a true, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ? Our goal here is so that you might have a real, true, genuine relationship with Jesus. Okay? Yep, we said it. That's what we did. Those prayer cards that you got, that's in front of you, those are actually for prayer requests, just so you know, not for like a gripe letter to me, okay? If you want to, you can email me at john.duggins@lwclife.com. I'll make sure I reply to that. But I had a prayer request come in. I thought it was a prayer request, and they were like, well, I tell you what, it seems like all you're all trying to do is to convert people. I thought, yeah, that's a very good compliment. Thank you. I don't know who wrote that. They didn't sign their name, but I appreciate that. Yes, yes. Our goal here at this church is that if you don't know Jesus, that you would know him. That if you are stuck in your sin and you are busted up and broken and helpless, we want you to know there is grace at the cross of Jesus. There is hope at the cross of Jesus. There is purpose at the cross of Jesus. And so wherever you are in life, because we're all busted up, banged up, we're all sinners, we're all in need of grace, we all need his marvelous mercy. And if that's you today and you've never experienced his wondrous cross and the salvation that he offers, today we want you to experience that new life in Christ. That's what we want. Not so we can say, ha ha, I got another one. But so that you can meet the God who made you, who loves you, and has a purpose for your life. That's what it's about. That's why we do what we do at this church. We want you to know him. We're not interested in having the applause of men. And we don't fear the rejection of man. We want the applause of heaven and Jesus glorified. And so this morning we got to ask ourselves, where is our heart? What camp do we find ourselves in? Look at verse 14. Paul says, but may it never be that I would boast. Let's stop right there. He says, may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, if Paul wanted to brag, he could have. If he wanted to make his life about him, he could have. Because when he was a Pharisee among Pharisees, a Hebrew among Hebrews, I mean, he was leading his religious denomination of the day, and man, he was making headway. And there was a time when he was maybe in line to be the high priest, and he was persecuting Christians, and he was zealous for his faith, but then he encountered the risen Lord, and he had a conversion experience. And he said in Philippians that everything that I thought was gain, I count as loss. All of the success I had, all of the notoriety I had, all of the accomplishments I had, I count it as garbage. Take it down to Rumpke and throw it away. That's where it belongs. You see, when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you questions like, well, did you have a house with four rooms and three baths? He's not going to ask you what kind of car you drove. He's not going to ask you if you were a CEO of a company. He's going to ask you, what did you do with my son, Jesus? And how did you live to glorify him? That's it. He said, I don't want to boast in anything but the cross of Christ. Why? Because he realized that all good and perfect things come from above. He realized that even in the sorrow of life, Jesus was still king. He realized that no matter what situation he found himself in, there was mercy at the cross. He realized that he was a sinner in need of a Savior and that Jesus Christ was his King and that there was nothing in this world that mattered to him any longer but what happened at Calvary. That is where Jesus paid for my sin so that I might be forgiven. And so whenever he lived and whatever he did, he realized that everything that happened to him was because of the mercy and power and salvation of God. In the good times, he could give him praise. In the bad times, he could give him praise. When things are going well in life, may I boast only in the cross. When things are going bad in life, may I boast only in the cross. I might say, as Job said, though he might slay me, yet I will serve him. Because not everything in life is good. There is suffering, there is heartache, there is pain. There will be a day when some of us get that call from that officer to tell us about that wreck. There will be a letter written and left at the table. There will be something happen where we say, what in the world has happened? And is there God? Where is he at? Know this, that through the cross of Christ, no matter what I go through, no matter what blessings I receive or what hardships I might face, there is mercy and love and power at the cross of Jesus. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll what? Fear no evil, for you are with me. The cross. At the cross. At the cross. Where I first saw the light. And the burden of my sin rolled away. It was there by grace I received my sight. And now I am what? Happy all the day. He says, may it be that I never boast in anything except the cross of Christ. And look what he says. Through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. He said, everything in this world has lost its luster. The things that people will kill themselves over and strive to make themselves seem successful doesn't do it for me anymore. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to my pursuits to follow God's purpose. I'm dead to what the world offers so that I can receive what God gives. This world has lost its luster. It is dead to me, and I am dead to it. But I am alive unto God. Man, that's Paul's heartbeat. You know, it's good to have nice things. There's nothing wrong with having a home. You need to have a home. Raise your kids and family in it to love Jesus. It's good to have vehicles. It beats walking, doesn't it? It's nice to have a vehicle. But use it to glorify Jesus. Do you realize that everything that we have can be used to either glorify God or bring glory to ourselves? And what we need to do is get to the point in our life to where we don't make it about us, but about Him, and that our boast and our bragging goes to Christ. Verse 15. He says, for neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Here is the linchpin in the text. Here is that main focus. He says, if you're circumcised, you're not circumcised. That doesn't matter. What matters is, do you have a new, are you a new creation? Have you been born again? Do you know Jesus? And again, I would caution us as an American church. I'm not asking you this morning, have you been baptized? Have you been born again? I'm not asking you, do you have a name on a church roll? Have you been born again? I'm not asking you if you've repeated a prayer that a pastor said to pray. I'm asking, are you born again? Do you realize there's a difference between just getting dunked or repeating a prayer or signing a card than having a genuine conversion experience with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you understand there's a difference? There's a difference. It doesn't matter. You can go through the whole routine. You can jump up, spin around, tap your heels 3 times, and you don't know Jesus. It doesn't matter. What matters is, do you know Christ? Have you had a true conversion experience? I'll tell you, there's going to be a lot of Baptists in hell. There's going to be a lot of Methodists in hell. Church of God, Church of Christ, Pentecostals, you name it. There's a lot of folks who have went through the routine but have never been renewed. They've went through the church ritual, but they never had a genuine relationship with Jesus. You knew what to say, and you said it with your lips, but your heart was far from Him. Today, if you hear His voice, the Bible would say, do not harden your heart, for today is the day of salvation. You've been baptized, you're a member of the church, but you don't know Jesus. I would say today would be a good day to come to know Him. Today is a day to be new. Sins forgiven. Birthed into God's kingdom. A child of God. Given hope and a purpose. Today. How? Through the cross of Jesus. Those who will walk by this rule, verse 16, what's that rule? The rule of boasting only in and living for the cross of Christ, not being ashamed of it. It said, may peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God, those who have faith in Jesus. May His peace and His mercy be on you. Because the Christian life is not an easy life. The preachers who tell you once you come to Christ and all your worries are over and you are going to live in a happy dreamland, they want your money. They lie. Life is tough. Life is hard. But it is worth living for Jesus through it all. He says in verse 17, from now on, let no one cause trouble for me. For I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. He says, from now on, those people who keep trying to mess with my ministry, those people who keep trying to distort the gospel, may they quit, leave me alone, and stop causing me trouble. It's a good personal, this is a personal cry out from Paul. Why? He said, because you can look at me and know where I stand. He said, I bear on my body the brand marks of Jesus. Those of you who are trying to mess with my ministry, Paul says, look at me. You can see who I belong to. You see, it was customary in Paul's day in that practice. If you were a slave, some of the owners of a slave would brand the slave with a mark, signifying that that person owns that individual. Paul says, I've been branded by the marks of suffering. And I'm not my own, but I belong to Jesus. It's customary practice in Paul's day that those in the Gentile world who would worship false gods and false deities, they would tattoo themselves with an insignia of that god, or that would relate to that god. I ain't speaking about your tattoos, but here's what I'm saying. What Paul wanted you to know is that you want a tattoo that speaks. It's the tattoo of the brands and the marks and the scars of following Jesus. That's what matters. Look at my body. He was beaten. He was bruised. He was slashed. He was stoned to the point of almost dying. He had scars all over his body. Why? Because he was not ashamed to proclaim the name of Jesus. People didn't like it. People didn't applaud him. People actually persecuted him, but yet he still proclaimed the name. And he had some ugly scars from man's perspective, but they were beautiful in the eyes of Jesus. Grace and peace to you, my brethren.